And I'm an old-time fundamental Baptist. I wouldn't be anything else. You Baptists, you see, you think you're the only ones going to heaven. Oh, no, no. No, we're worried about half our crowd. But as long as you're going, you might as well go first class. But I see a departure. I see a departure from the faith. I see a departure from the gathering of God's people. A departure from the work. And I have a lot of friends. Some of them my age. Some of them a little older. Although there's not too many older than me anymore. It kind of bothers me a little. But then there's some, Brother Ross, that are younger. They're bailing out and selling out. And they've just lost grip. They've lost sight of what this whole business about the Christian life is all about. And it's not so much pursuing the American dream, but it's getting people ready for eternity. I got a whole bunch of doctors. Man, you name it, I got a doctor for it. So I had, my cancer came back on me. So after my heart attack, and they got me going, they finally said, well, you're strong enough to start doing something about this cancer. So early in the fall, we started the cancer treatments. And so one day, I'm getting some treatments. They said I wasn't going to need chemo, and I ended up having to have chemo. So this oncologist, that's a fancy word of just saying cancer doctor. We were talking, and I said, I don't know if you ever looked at it like this or not, but you and I are both ministers. See, the word minister means servant, and it doesn't apply solely to ministers of the gospel. It applies to servants. And I said, you serve people, and you try to help people. Well, I said, that's what I do. I said, now the difference between your service and mine is, yours is short term, because all you're doing is just trying to add a few more years, you know, to a life that's a vapor at best anyway. But I said, mine's long term. Well, he said, well, I'll make more money than you do. I said, well, I got a better retirement program. There was a great preacher back in the early to the mid-1900s. His name was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. If he were alive today, he'd be an independent Baptist. I heard him say, by way of recording one time, he was concerned about men when they got up around and a little past middle age, and some of the things that they started doing that they'd never done in their whole life. And said he was talking to the doctor about it, and he said, what do you think causes that? This doctor said, Bob, they've lost the forward look. And I think that's happened in a lot of preachers, a lot of Christian workers, and just a lot of Christian people, a lot of churches. We've lost what it's all about. I want to read a few verses of scripture. And I told you, Pastor, I'm pretty feeble, but I don't plan on staying this way. I am going to get better. They say, well, how you doing? Well, my answer is always the same. I'm doing better than I deserve. But then there are some, you know how pushy Baptist preachers are. So they'll say, well, come on, tell me the truth, man. Well, I just did. Yeah, well, how you really doing? Well, I'm about half throttle, you know. But hitting on four cylinders is better hitting on two. So I'll say, you know, it's like the songwriter said, I'm a winner either way. Amen. Whether I go or whether I stay. Amen. So my verse for this little bump in the road that I'm going through is, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day.
Amen.
So I was going among all these whole slew of surgeons and doctors, and well, I got a chiropractor because they got some issues. So I went in there the other day, and the secretary said, Brother Bob, how you doing? I said, I'm all stoved up. Now, you have to be from the country to understand what that means. But that means not in very good shape and in a lot of pain. I said, I'm pretty stoved up, but I'm rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen.
My body doesn't rejoice, but that's not what's important. My spirit does, and my soul does. Amen.
Amen.
So let me get into this. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 4. And I told your pastor, when we made an agreement, that I'd just speak once this morning. I said, now that's just for this year only. Well, you say, well, he can do what he wants to. He's the pastor. I know that, but I'm a lot older than him. That's got to count for something. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Down through these years, I've preached a couple, three different messages out of this passage, but I'm just using it in a little different way today. By the way, can you hear me all right? Sound man, can you hear me? Okay. Back row, can you hear me? Okay. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I don't say this. I don't throw off on anybody that does. But when I'm dealing with scripture, I don't say, now John said this, or Paul said this, or Peter said this, because they didn't really say anything. All they did was write down what God told them to. So I don't want that emphasis to ever get away from the fact that every word of God is pure. Now, there's only one way that can be true. Every word has to come from God. And that's what the Bible says about itself. Amen. Now, here we're dealing with some of Paul's testimony, but the only reason it's there is because God dictated it to him word for word. Amen. So the old man's about to die. The backdrop of 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the Roman executioner that's going to take his head off. So he's in the end of the fourth quarter. He's right down to the last sentence of the last chapter of his life. God has him penned these words, not just for Timothy, but for you and me. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "For I'm now ready to be offered, the time of my departure's at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I'm interested in verse number 7. "Since required as stewards, that a man be found faithful." And we see that God helped the Apostle Paul be faithful in three vital areas. First of all, he was faithful to the fight. You won't be saved very long until you find out that you are in spiritual conflict. And you don't have to go looking for a fight. You become a Christian, brother, you got thrown in the arena whether you like it or not. And there's a battle raging. When I first got saved, way back right after World War I, you're supposed to laugh at that. I hadn't been saved very long. And there's a man that's preached in this pulpit many, many years ago who was led my wife and I to Christ and pastored over in Avon, Indiana for a good number of years. His name was Dr. Tom Berry. I knew him back when he was just a nurse. And takes Kentuckians a while, but they get it. They tell me that down in New Albany, which is just right across the river from Louisville, don't go down there saying Louisville. They'll run you to Tennessee. They've made all of the inhabitants of New Albany use clear garbage bags to put their garbage in so that when the Kentuckians come across the river, they can win the shop. Don't ask me what that's got to do with anything. I don't know. When you're as old as I am and so foggy headed, you just say things and you don't even stop trying to figure it out what it is, you just keep on going, you know, just like it's part of it, you know. But my pastor said this hadn't been saved very long. He said, the most difficult task you'll ever have is staying right with God. And I thought to myself, that old boy didn't come up the way I came up. That old boy hadn't been through some of the stuff some of us guys have been through. Slop joints and the fighting and all the rest of that kind of stuff. I said, if he'd been saved from what I was saved from, the easiest thing in the world would be able to stay in love with the one that saved you out of that. But you know what I found out? I found out he knew what he's talking about. Why? Because the Christian life is conflict. There is a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Endure hardness as a good soldier. He's faithful to the fight. Secondly, he is faithful to the faith. He said, I have kept the faith. Don't you love that? I talk to preachers constantly. There's hardly a week goes by a preacher that I don't have a preacher crying on my shoulder about so-and-so who's compromised. You know, they've let down their music. They've let down their dress standards. They've changed this. They've changed that. They've let down. You know, as if the Bible has changed. Yeah. But he's faithful to the faith once delivered unto the saints. And this may sound archaic, but it's as fresh as today's headlines. This book does not change. God's standard does not change in any area. Amen. And thank God for the church and the preachers and the people that base their belief and their behavior on thus saith the Lord, no matter which way the winds of doctrine may be blowing. He's faithful to the faith. He's faithful to the fight. And he's faithful to the finish. He said, I finished my course. I've said, Brother Jack, I've said, I want to finish stronger than when I started out 47 years ago. I don't have to be the biggest. I'm not. I've lost 40 pounds. I don't have to be the best, but there's one thing I can do. I can be faithful to my dying breath. I got to go meet the Lord. I've got to give an account of my stewardship. I've got to give an account of the time that God's given me. And I don't want to fizzle out. I don't want to end up being put on the shelf. I don't want to end up compromising what I've stood for and what I've preached these thousands of times, these almost a half a century. I want to be faithful to the finish. And that's what God wants out of all of us. Go over to the book of Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Beginning in verse number 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Amen. Our retirement program's out of this world, folks. Amen. You take seriously. Hey, listen to me. You take seriously Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, thieves break through and steal. but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves cannot break through and steal. We better be taking the forward look. Amen. Thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. I read that. That stirs this heart. Be thou faithful unto death. And I want to be in that fraternity that's faithful to God, no matter what the circumstances, physical affliction, persecution, whatever it is, I want to be faithful unto death. How about you? I love this verse. I think I mentioned this a year or two ago over in Revelation chapter 12. Let's talk about people saved during a tribulation. I understand that, but I love what it says about these martyrs. It says in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Something bigger than you and me. Amen. Let's not get caught up in egotism, self-centeredness, or self-pity. People leave the church for some of the absolutely most stupid reasons. Well, I'm just not getting fed. You're so cotton pick and carnal. Even if you are a Christian, you wouldn't know a good meal from a bad one. Who are you talking about? We're just not getting fed. Well, you come with your ears shut, your heart shut, your mind shut. The only thing's not open is that big mouth. No wonder you don't get anything. You didn't come to get anything. You just come to vomit over a bunch of people. Well, I'm not going to that old Blessed Hope Church anymore. They're just not friendly like they used to be. Same Greek word. Hey, you know what our problem is? We're in love with the wrong person. We're in love with self. I still read in the Bible, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend thee. Amen. Well, that preacher was preaching right at me. Well, y'all thank God. Amen. Besides, out of this whole crowd, you're the one that needs it most anyway. So you ought to appreciate that. Love not their lives unto death. I want to read something to you out of J.M. Carroll's classic on the history of the Baptist movement called A Trail of Blood. Every Baptist ought to read it once a year. Not very long, boy, it's powerful. Dr. Carroll wrote this. He said, under the strange but wonderful impulse and leadership of John the Baptist, the eloquent man from the wilderness, and under the loving touch and miracle working power of Christ himself and the marvelous preaching of the 12 apostles and their immediate successors, the Christian faith spread mightily during the first 500 year period. However, it left a terribly bloody trail behind it. Judaism and paganism bitterly contested every forward movement. John the Baptist was the first of the great leaders to give up his life. His head was taken off. Soon after him went the Savior himself, the founder of Christianity. He died on the cross, the cruel death of the cross. Following their Savior in rapid succession fell many other martyred heroes. Stephen was stoned. Matthew was slain in Ethiopia. Mark dragged through the streets until dead. Luke hanged. Peter and Simon were crucified. Andrew tied to a cross. James beheaded. Philip crucified and stoned. Bartholomew flayed alive. Thomas pierced with lances. James the last thrown from the temple and beaten to death. Jude shot to death with arrows. Matthias stoned to death. And Paul beheaded. Listen to this. More than 100 years had gone by before all this had happened. This hard persecution by Judaism and paganism continued for two more centuries, and yet mightily spread the Christian faith. It went into all the Roman Empire, Europe, Asia, Africa, England, Wales, and everywhere else where there was any civilization. The churches greatly multiplied, and disciples increased continually. You want to know why? Because they loved not their lives unto death. Because they were faithful unto death. John the Baptist was faithful unto death. Jesus, faithful unto death. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus, after that beating and carrying that cross up the Via Dolorosa, got halfway up that mountain? Aren't you glad he didn't throw that cross down and say, "This is too much for me. I've had enough of this. This is wrong. I'm going back home." Aren't you glad he went all the way? See, he's faithful unto death. Those great warriors mentioned here, these are the apostles. You read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I can't go there because of time, but you read about people that were stoned, sawed asunder. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. People that were faithful unto death, that left this life through martyrdom, singing the praises of Christ. And in many cases, the people that tortured them and put them to death turned to Christ as they watched those dying martyrs being faithful unto their dying breath. Alexander Duff spent his entire life in India. He was from Scotland. He was an old man. His health was gone. And he set up a preaching tour through all of Scotland. Preaching, pleading with the Scottish people to send missionaries to India. This one preaching hall that was packed. He's pouring his heart out. 2.5 hours pleading, and he fainted. They took him to a back room. A medical doctor came to attend him, and he woke up and And he said, I've got to go back and finish. Oh, they said, no, you can't, Dr. Duff. You may die. You're probably going, oh, die. He said, I would gladly die to get more men to go to India. They carried him back to the pulpit. And he said, fathers, have you no sons for India? If you do not, I'm an old man, but I'm going back and I'm going to fall on India's shore just to let them know that there's one man that cares about their soul. Alexander Duff was faithful unto death. What about you and me? Huh? What about you and me? Our roots, Brother Charles, you've been around, I think you're older than me. Our spiritual roots in our fundamental churches, about as shallow as I've ever seen. We don't run very deep. Doesn't take much to blow Christians out of the pew, you know. How's it going to be? We're on our way to meet the Lord. Huh? You take your stewardship seriously? What about your depth and degree of faithfulness? I say there are three absolute necessities, three requirements for you and me in the day that we live in. Now, anybody in this room over 50 years old will tell you that the America today is not the America that we grew up in. And it's going to keep changing. Now, we need to do what we can, but the truth of the matter is, we do not need to let that blow us out of the saddle. There are three requirements. We're going to have to make much of this book. We're going to have to, listen to me now. You listen to this old man. We're going to have to make much of the Word of God. We're going to have to set aside more time than we've ever in our whole Christian life to pore over the scriptures and meditate. We're going to have to take in mega doses of the Word of God. Why? I'll tell you why. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if our faith is not strong, we're going to falter and we're going to fail because of the pressures from the world that's just pouring in. Number two, we're going to have to get serious about our intercessory prayer ministry. And we're going to have to get back. You know, Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Well, you say, we don't have revivals like we used to. What's wrong? Well, I'll tell you what part of it is. We quit after Matthew 17:20. Because verse 21 says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. We better get back to Matthew 17:21. We're going to have faith, but we're going to have to exercise and agonize in the prayer closet. Don't raise your hand. Any of you folk got family who are not saved? Any of you parents or grandparents, you got kids or grandkids that are wayward away from God? Do you see any evidences in your community of immorality running rampant? I agree with Brother Ross. Jasonville can have revival. But it's dependent upon the Christian people in this community. It's dependent upon you. We're going to have to be men and women of faith. And we're going to have to be men and women who know what it means to get a hold of God in intercessory prayer. And then number three, and this is for everybody. This is for you Sunday morning only people, for everybody else. We're going to have to make much of the house of God. I was down a good deal last year. I complained about that. I'm going to tell you something. There's not a television program. There's not a radio program that can take the place of being in the church service. Because there's one thing that the media, the television, or the radio cannot communicate, and that's atmosphere. You got to be there. And when you're there, you sense that the Spirit of God uses every facet of the service to create an atmosphere that the Holy Spirit of God is working in. That it'll reach your heart and fill your soul. Amen. And you can't get that. I don't care. You can't get that from Charles Stanley. You can't get that from down in Memphis. You can't get that from Texas. Yeah, there's only one place you're going to get that. That's in a local church. Amen. Right. I'd been in that. They called it, what'd they call that hospital? They call it Floyd Memorial Hospital. I call it Floyd Memorial Prison. Jack, I must have been in there 6 months. From April 1st to the 30th. Seemed like it. I got out on a Thursday. You think I'm a pathetic looking mess? You should have seen me then, man. I'm telling you. Good night. I had to have people help me walk. I got out on a Thursday. I got out of prison on a Thursday. Our youngest daughter, you know her, Joy. She was there helping her mom and me. So we got out about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I wanted to step out there in that parking lot and sing, "Thank God I'm Free." But I couldn't speak above a whisper anyway, so nobody would have heard me. So that, you know. My wife said, "Well, we're going to get you home." I said, "No. We're going to the house of God." And I had my sweats on. I had socks on. I had the oxygen thing on to keep me alive. So we went there. We got there early. I sit on the very back row where the backsliders are, all the way at the back. Because I didn't want to draw attention to myself. But I wanted to be in church. And that piano player started playing. tears. Just run. I'm listening to that. They started singing those great old hymns. I'm standing back there. Man, just drinking it in. Just been. You can't get that in television. You can't. I'll be honest with you. You can't get that on your CD. Only one place you're ever going to get that, Gordon. That's in the house of God. Men, the preaching. Huh? Listen, I'm going to tell you. If you're weak in the faith, 6 months from now, we won't be able to find you on Sunday. You'll run. You'll evacuate. There's so much, because all of this political stuff and everything else, it all got one thing that they prey on, and that is creating fear. And if you're not strong in the faith, you'll be full of fear and you'll run. The Word of God, prayer, and the house of God. This is no time to forsake the house of God. This is time when we better make sure whatever we have to do, whatever change we have to make in our schedule, we better be there. Because that's where God is going to meet with his people and stir us and strengthen us and help us to be faithful unto death. Now, I'm going to challenge you to make a commitment or to make a recommitment this morning that you'll commit to God. Don't worry, honey, I don't bite and I don't spit anymore. Someday again, maybe. They used to clear the first two pews for me. Recommit that you'll be faithful unto death. No matter what lies out there. Because there could be some pretty horrific things. Tom, where are you at? Where's song leader at? I want him to sing a little bit. I'll talk with the preacher about this. I want us to make a commitment to be faithful unto death. Listen to what he's calling. You say that? Listen to this. You willing? Peter backed off. He didn't go with him. Thank God he made up for it later. Not too many people make it that far. They bail out, afraid of those soldiers. Okay, just keep, wait. Try, go ahead. Okay, just keep playing softly. Well, let's bow our heads. I'm about done. Heads bowed. Is there anybody in this room not saved? Is there a man or woman or young person? I'm not asking if you prayed a prayer, if you're a member of a church. Is there anybody in here who's not saved, but you wish you were? Could I see your hand? You just raise your hand. That raised hand says, "Preacher, I'm not saved, but I want to be. Jesus went all the way with me, for me." Anybody like that? Okay, now Christian, listen to me. This is not theatrics, but I'm asking you. How many of you, in this moment, how many of you born again people would say, by the upraised hand, "Brother Preacher, I'm making a commitment right here and now that I'm going to, with God's help, I'm going to be faithful unto death." How many are willing to do that? You'd raise your hand. You'd say, "By God's grace, I'm not going to quit on Him. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fail. With His help, I'm going to be faithful unto death." Amen. All right. Now let's stand. You don't need your hymnal. We know that. Brother Tom, let's lead us in that last verse, that last stanza. Listen to this, because this is the key if we're going to be faithful. Here's the key. Yes. Come on, let's sing it. Yes. Lord, help us, as Brother Ross takes the invitation, help us to seal this commitment to be faithful to our dying breath. And we claim the promise that You'll give us Your grace and glory, and You will go with us all the way. Amen.